This is episode 159 with Jessica Cabin. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I help school administrators fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders from across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Jessica Cabin, we explore a number of interesting topics like the importance of shadowing students and teachers, Jessica's system for writing a personal note to every single student at the beginning of the year, and Jessica has no email on her phone. What? Could you? Today's podcast upgrade is 5 ways to connect with students in the first 30 days. You can download it at betterleadersbetterschools.com/159 Jessica Cabin, or click the podcast upgrade link in the show notes page. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. And before we jump into the episode, let's take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving student soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Well, hey there, better leaders. I am here with Jessica Cabin for the second time, which I am super pumped about. She was originally my guest on episode 78 on the show, and she's the principal of the happiest place in southeastern Minnesota, the Woodson Kindergarten Center, and in 2017 was named the Minnesota National Distinguished Principal. She recently released my favorite book, which is called Hacking Early Learning, and was one of the original 14 members of my leadership community, the Mastermind. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Danny. Thanks for having me on again. It's quite an honor, so I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm one of your biggest fans, so I couldn't wait to get this episode recorded. But like I said, you've been on episode 78, so people could go back there to hear a deeper bio and kind of, those normal questions I ask on the show. This one, I want to focus on the book, Hacking Early Learning. So we're just going to jump right into it. Early in the book, you discuss the importance of shadowing students or even other educators. And I'm really interested in how often do you do this in your role as principal? And what are some of the big aha moments you've had going through these shadow experiences?
Yes. Well, and just my tagline is I'm a recovering assistant middle school principal turned kindergarten principal. So I walked in to a kindergarten center thinking I knew everything. And within like the first 30 minutes knew I knew nothing about leading at an early learning center and cultivating an environment of care and trust and respect. And so the only way you can do that, you can't get that from a book. You get that from a classroom. And so when I first started initially, it was just kind of sitting in different environments that I wasn't used to, like a play center or gym or social studies or reading, at that developmental age, just to learn. And as it's evolved, it's gone from in the first 30 days of school, I write a personal note to every single student and on our campus, which is this year over 400. And that specific note is around something I've seen the child do in class. When it comes to working with teachers, I have a tribe of very passionate kindergarten teachers, some of which have only taught kindergarten and most of which have taught for more than 15 years in that grade level. And so I have such expertise in the building. And this year, I had a teacher ask me, she's like, you've been out of the classroom for 10 years. You've never taught kindergarten. I'd really like you to come in and teach for a day in my class. And of course, sharing is caring. So I threw that out to the building as a whole and said, would anybody else like me to sub for the day? And I did over 16 classrooms. So all day from breakfast to bus, at the end of the day, I was the teacher of record. And those experiences taught me just sheer volumes about the incredible gifts each child receives from our teachers. I really understand more in more depth the role a teacher has and how deep and intricate it is in everything they do. And I also just decided I'm really good at my day job and I would never be able to be a kindergarten teacher if this didn't work out for me.
Gotcha. In terms of the shadowing, well, I heard, you said you're a recovering middle school assistant principal. So that was sort of the catalyst that you wanted to be curious and learn about how a kindergarten center operates. But can you give a little more detail in terms of if there's some sort of framework or like the system approach to how you actually go into these classes? Is there a form you fill out? Is there some, anything formalized that you go through, or are you just, there with open eyes and open ears?
For really, it's been open eyes and open ears, because I came into this setting with a lack of experience in this grade level band. I think if you were a kindergarten teacher and coming in, you'd have more of a framework around what standards are they addressing, what are the developmental learning strategies they're using to engage students, how are they informally assessing students to make sure they understand content outside of a paper, pencil, or computer-based assessment tool. But for me, it was really my sole focus was to fully understand what happens all day in K. And so just, I had a notebook, I took notes, I had little spots for questions. And so when I, at the end of the day, I would just go back to the teachers if I was shadowing a student and just say, hey, I was wondering, I think this is what you were doing. Can you, you know, is that what you were doing or not? And one of the things I've learned is our early learning teachers have this like ginormous thought bubble and have such depth to their lesson planning that they could never put on paper. And so now it's just trying to get them to really articulate that intentionality of, especially around play and outdoor learning environments and how they're connecting standards and curriculum to that work. Because we know developmentally, it's so much more important for kids to be active in their learning instead of sitting and filling out worksheets. And so by empowering them to really speak what they're doing, not only to myself, but to other community stakeholders and parents, it's elevating the work they're doing and really honoring the early work and the importance of, like I said, just that play-based hands-on learning and how much deeper in concept and content kids are grasping that knowledge with that work.
And with those personal notes, I want to go back to that you write to all your students, and it's something intentional and specific, right, that you saw them do in the classroom. How long are these notes that you write, and what kind of time commitment is it? Because, you know, I'm sure people are hearing this, they're excited, but they have some questions about how to maybe even start.
Yes. Well, first off, make sure if you're a building principal doing this, that you bring your administrative assistant coffee for about a week, because it really It relies heavily on Lisa to get this done, because she coordinates my calendar to make sure I'm in every classroom. For me to be able to touch, you know, 24, 25 students, it takes about 2 hours per class. And we have about 16 sections of kindergarten. Then what she also does to help me out for efficiency is she'll go in and auto-populate the mailing labels for me per class. And so when I go into the classroom, I have the postcard ready to go with the student's home address on it. So then all I'm doing is actually writing the personal note on the spot. And it could be around, I really appreciated how you were turn-taking with your friend. I liked your insight in regards to what you did this weekend. I enjoyed listening to you explain the story that we were listening to today. Specific things that really also connect to content as well, or those social emotional learning skills we want kids to have. And then we just mail them out. And then usually by mid-year, Lisa goes back and checks to see who may be enrolled in kindergarten after October 1st. And then we try to go back and make sure that those students are also getting cards too.
Hey y'all, I'm Casey Bell of the Google Teacher Tribe podcast, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com and get ready, because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right. So just to reflect, make sure I got it all. People could always like rewind the podcast and listen, but essentially, you know, you love on your admin assistant with Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know if it matters, but then so all the labels are printed, the postcards are ready to go, and you're doing it on the spot. It's intentional. It's connected to what they're actually doing and learning, but it doesn't have to be really long. Right.
So no.
It's sort of a brief note. I saw you do this. This was wonderful. And boom, then you send them out.
Yes. And make sure it's print, like you're printing and not cursive, especially at the early years, because I have doctor handwriting. And so I really had to be intentional about how careful I was writing, because I want the kids to be able to read it when they get home with their parents. And we also notified our success coaches that this was happening, because we have 20 different home languages represented in our school. And so I wanted to make sure that even if they couldn't read my handwriting right away, that the success coaches could either interpret it, but for sure that they knew when that card came home, it was a positive note home. Nothing for concern, nothing to be alarmed with, but it was just a way to recognize their child. And so that was important too. And then one other long-term reflection of this, I had a preschool teacher come up to me and say she was doing a home visit and an older sibling who's now in third grade still has that postcard on the refrigerator.
I can absolutely believe that because those when you take the time to do something out of your day and that personal, it is so unbelievably meaningful. And so in this case, it's for a family and a student. But I know, you know, Rob in the mastermind, when he started doing boxes after observations, right? Mm-hmm. Some of his staff tell him that they listen to his encouraging message every morning before teaching the kids. Oh. And that's the power, right, of encouragement, of affirmations, of doing something super specific, you know, mm-hmm. for your people. Like, take the time out of your day to do that. And now that we're talking about time, you know, you've got a lot to do as principal. And you just talked about like blocking off 2 hours to observe classes, to write notes. How do you get excited to do that when in the back of your mind, there might be a million other things administratively, you know, you need to get done?
Well, again, it's almost like I'm married to the administrative assistant, which my husband really appreciates. But Lisa and I are really a team in that office. And really, honestly, Lisa runs the office. I have never been a principal in the seat. I've always been on my feet. And so it's rare you're going to see me in the office because I just really want to be where the learning's occurring or where families are. And so we schedule probably about an hour every day where I'm in the office. That's when I check the email. I don't have email on my phone. So when I'm out in classrooms, I'm out in classrooms. She schedules all the appointments around those times in classrooms. And then it's just a lot of cultivating leadership within our teacher ranks and finding teacher leaders that are passionate about certain things. So we have a committee that really was passionate about us setting our essential learning outcomes in reading and math. So I empowered them to do it. And they're incredible because they do the work versus me sitting in my office looking at the Minnesota State Standards, coming up with something that might not be relevant to what's going on in classrooms today. Empowering our teacher leaders to really help cultivate that and then recognizing and celebrating that work not only gives me the time to be out in classrooms, but again, builds that empowerment within teacher leadership that we really recognize what they do is important. We want to make sure that all teachers have that value added to them in their classrooms.
All right. We have to talk about the no email on the phone. I know.
Oh, yes.
I want to talk about the book, but we got to talk about no email on the phone. And hopefully we didn't cause any people listening on their commute to work to crash their car when they heard that. But how did you get to that place? I mean, you're the principal. You don't have email on your phone. I'm sure a number of people just had their brains explode. So walk us through that.
Yes, it was, I think, my first year in the kindergarten center. And I tended to go into work on Saturday mornings just because my kids were still sleeping. And one teacher emailed me back and said, why do you email us at 5:30 on a Saturday morning? Like, more as a joke. But then I really reflected on it. I'm like, why do I do that? Because then in turn, it makes the teachers think they have to be on their email on the weekends or at night when they need to be with their family or refilling their own cups so they come back to work. So I met with the superintendent, my direct supervisor, and I just said, you know, I'd like to do this. You know, is there any issues from, you know, my superiors that this is going to be an issue? Can you just text me or, you know, and I'll check email at night, like one time at night. And then I don't check email till 9 a.m. And I really was transparent with the staff as to why I was doing that, just to set boundaries for myself, but for them as well. And then, yeah, ever since. It just helps me to stay more engaged and present with the conversations or what I'm doing instead of waiting for that next ping or notification or opening my phone and seeing like 30 red marks that I've missed how many messages. And then when I check email on my computer, I use that inbox zero approach. So when I look at an email, I either delete it, delegate it, or do something with it, and it's done. Because otherwise, it just becomes more of a to-do list than a form of communication.
Yeah, so a couple of productivity hacks and tips within that to bring out again for the listeners. You know, be intentional with your time. So block it off. You heard Jessica say, I only check at 9 a.m., right? So she's not waking up in email and social media and that kind of stuff. It's doing important work before that and then getting into email checks once at night. Took it off. She's expressing boundaries to the teachers and all of that. And then the other hack that I heard is the touch it once idea. So in terms of inbox zero, you know, maybe you want to do that, maybe not, but it's the touch it once. Don't go in your email and read through it and think about it and then don't take any type of action, right? You're just wasting time. And that adds up every day, every week, every month and year. And so take action. If you need to respond, respond or whatever. But it's a lot easier when you have intentional times to check email to take action as well. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh, and really, I think it goes parallel to the work I'm doing because if I hadn't set those boundaries around the business of leading, I wouldn't be in classrooms really being the instructional leader that I wanted to be and that the teachers need me to be and the students and family are, you know, charging me to be. So if I didn't have those other things set up and prioritized, I wouldn't be able to do what I do today.
So So we're talking about email. Let's transition to tech. And I know in the book you talk about, you know, sort of not just incorporating stuff because they're shiny and new. So what's your approach in terms of introducing new technology into your school? Because you have it and your kids are doing really amazing things with it. But yeah, what's your approach?
Leaders go first. Fail first, fail forward first. I think, as I said too, we have a continuum of learners even as adults. And a number of us went through our own schooling without computers. I mean, I went through high school and I took typewriting on a typewriter. I didn't have email till after college. So, you know, we're trying to learn things that come completely natural for our children that we're serving. And so really, I always try something first before I expect any teachers or students to do it. So, you know, 3 years ago, I started teaching a coding club. And so we do Ozobots, we do BeBots, Sphero, code.org. But it was really important for me to try it first to really understand it before I ever expected teachers to try it in their classrooms as well. And then we really do a lot with explaining things to parents too, because there's so many things out there for parents to look at. And so when we incorporated iPads within the classroom, the parents get a list of the apps that are Woodson approved. So the teachers went through and listened to the reading apps to make sure the phonemes are being sounded out correctly on the app, or with the math components to make sure that the number three looks like the number three we asked the kids to learn how to write. And so the parents then, and most of those are free apps as well, so they don't have to be searching blindly. They can use the research and the tools that we already have. And then also just reflecting on the importance still of that hands-on learning. We always want technology to be a tool to bridge or enhance learning, but not to replace things that are already working. And so even when we do coding club, we've got unplugged activities and plugged in activities that build on each other. So it's never resident with, you can't do any of this without a technology tool. A lot of this is just building on, and then the technology is just extending or enhancing the work.
I love that. So technology should be a tool that bridges or enhances learning, not something that replaces it.
Yes. And one other thing too, that I talk a lot about when I work with like daycares and preschool providers, and we're going to be going to ISTE this summer to share some of our work too, is always focus on that the tool or the device or whatever you're using, the kids are creators and not consumers of technology. There's a big difference. And at this age, they can totally create things. They can navigate these devices in much more depth and less frustration than I can as an adult. I mean, my gosh, my phone shuts down all the time because I have too much data on it. I'm sure I could ask a five-year-old and they could figure it out quicker. So, but just really making sure that they're not just passively watching videos or YouTube or games that are very cut and dried, but having opportunities for them to create and enhance what they're doing in classrooms, back at home, or on these devices is important too.
Awesome. In terms of communicating with parents, I like what you talked about, you know, these, the older ways that, you know, we might approach communicating to our community members through a newsletter or whatever, that's, you know, it might be still a place for it, but sort of in an old and a traditional approach. And so what are some innovative ways that you see people using tools to communicate and really reach their community members, specifically their parents?
Absolutely. So as a building, I have a Facebook page, we have a website, and we have a blog. And on that blog, we post all our coding club lesson plans. So if parents want to see what we're doing in coding club, we post activities for kindergarten readiness that parents that are coming into kindergarten can look at. And then we have kind of my favorite, the kid principal. So once a month, I interview kids about what they think I should be doing or what I am doing. And parents always chime in just to see if their child was chosen that month. So at a building level, that's where we really start. And then classroom levels, we have a lot of teachers that are finding ways that work for their parents and work for them. So it might be Remind. I have a number of teachers that use Remind to communicate with parents and update them on the daily learning. We also have some teachers using private Facebook groups. And so then they can go ahead and take a look at what's going on within the classroom. Obviously, Twitter is a tool as well that our teachers are using not only for their own professional development, but to share out with families as well. And so we really try to recognize that parents have really busy lives outside of those school days too. And we want to make sure that they have real information, real time that they can go home and talk to their child about with, because it's really neat. And I make sure as a school leader that I am connected to any one of those groups. So I'm on the Remind groups for the classrooms. I'm on the Facebook groups for the classrooms. So I'm seeing everything that the parents seeing too. But I just think about how cool it is that they can go home and say, hey, it looks like you were doing an engineering project today. Can you tell me more about it versus how was your day? it's becoming more intentional with that communication and really helping the students share what they're learning at school at home with their parents at night.
Yeah, I know people might have gotten a little scared when they heard private Facebook. Not me, you know. I definitely want people to be innovative and creative in how they connect with parents, community members, and that sort of thing. But I think, you know, what you said there, being connected yourself to all those groups.
Yes.
Right? You have a sense and a pulse on what's going on, and that's a really smart approach to it.
Well, and especially it's been really neat for our dual language students to have their parents on Facebook and to see their comments in Spanish. Mm. You know, so it's really bridging some of those language barriers that you might say, well, we can't, you know, that a newsletter never addresses. And a newsletter is static and it's once a month and it gets lost in the bottom of the backpack or doesn't get home. Where the Facebook page, you can go and see what your child's doing. And we keep it private. So then it's just for parents. So the parents are the only ones that get to see that information. And it's something that we talk about at the back to school conferences in the fall. So they can see exactly what they're going to be sharing throughout the year. And then at the end of the year, the teacher's pretty like, it's been real and fun, but we're all done now. And then has to close the group so she can open the next group up. But it's really, like you said, yes, there might be some teachers that are like, oh gosh, but being able to just see like the gingerbread houses. Mm. And we've done Facebook Lives for all our big events.
Nice.
And it's been so neat for parents to say, I couldn't make it to the holiday program, but I was so excited to be able to watch it real time from my office in the neighboring community, you know, or to be able to at the holidays then to show family members later on or family members that are far away. Or, you know, we think about some of our families that might be deployed, families that might be in different states. It really is becoming more globally connected. And we have to recognize that family dynamics look different today. And we want to honor all the different ways in which families live. And we want to make sure that they can see what the learning is occurring in the classroom.
Absolutely. And the way to leverage technology and put yourself out there and that people can then, you know, enjoy what you're doing and learn and be a part of the experience by utilizing technology. And for me, you know, my personal connection is I was trying to throw these local dinners to discuss leadership and education and what did we learn from our failures and celebrate successes and, you know, all of that. But locally, that was really hard to do. And it's when I invited people from literally around the world to start having this conversation that it thrived, right? And I got connected to so many other leaders. And it's crazy. I never would have thought that if I would have taken my attention and put it in a global perspective as opposed to local, that I would actually engage in deeper conversations about education and leadership.
Mm-hmm. It has been just a game changer. And I'm pretty new to all of the technology, but early adopter, and I haven't looked back since. So it definitely, if you're nervous about any of that, please reach out to me after today. Because I, like I said, I grew up with a typewriter. So it's a little bit harder for me, but I'm definitely seeing the value.
Very cool. So with Hacking Early Learning, the book, what did you learn about yourself, putting a book out there for us?
Just how much the community was a part of it. And so it's been really exciting to celebrate with the community. I absolutely love Austin, Minnesota. And I love to speak about the commitment that our community has to education and the fact that the kindergarten center here was running all day, every day, almost a decade before the state of Minnesota recognized all day kindergarten as a platform. And so the community really funded this before the state recognized it as necessary. And to write the book, and then I did a book launch this week at a local community bookstore, and to see former teachers show up, to see former parents, to see students that I had 4 years ago come to a book signing around this book really just reminded me how important the work is and how exciting it is to celebrate all the incredible things we do in Austin with people across the world. So it's completely humbling. It's a little bit overwhelming when somebody comes up to me and says, I just read your book, or I get a message, can I use this as a quote on my email? Or I'm just like, oh my goodness, somebody read this. But it also is just really reaffirming that this message is important. And we want to make sure that everybody's equipped with educating early learning students in the best way possible. So it's an honor to be able to share this work. And just, I really am grateful for Mark Barnes and the Hack Learning series to say, we need to get some leverage out there around kindergarten and early learning, because it's just critical. Everybody always thinks the high school principal, and no offense, the high school principal here is incredible. You know, it's such a prestigious position, but she needs me to do my job well at kindergarten So I'm preparing those kids to walk across that stage in 12th grade. And so I really think that that's changed perception and mindset about the importance of early learning leaders, really setting that strong foundation. So when they get to high school, they're successful and they can look back and say, you know, my principal gave me high fives every morning or hugs or sent me a note or really valued me and really instilled an importance of learning. And I tell all of them, you know, finish school. And by the time you're done, I'll be retired and you can take the job over for me.
Awesome. Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com.
I mentioned in the intro how you were one of the original 14 members of the mastermind, mm-hmm. and I think awareness of that leadership community is growing. But can you explain to the listeners a little bit maybe what brought you to the group and what your experience has been like?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it was Nancy Alvarez, and she is a co-moderator of ECE Chat with me. And right away, she could see I had a drive, but I lacked a little direction. You know, I was on Twitter, I was on Voxer. I had these big dreams, but I needed a framework to really put things in order and set steps up. So she connected me with you and I jumped into the group and I haven't looked back. It's hilarious. I always call it class because it's really hard for people to understand. I'm in mastermind, but like Wednesday night, I'm like, I'm in class and I come home and log in. And the readings that we do really have opened my mind to the importance of learning how to lead outside of education. And things, some of the books are really challenging to read, which also really stretches my own learning. And the power of the conversations and the tribe of people I've gotten to know because of it has just made me a better person and leader. So I always look forward to Wednesday nights. And it's also exciting to then meet people in person. It's almost like you're part of their lives. I mean, a lot of times we're in each other's living rooms because we do this group at night and we know our families and we know some of the challenges and successes we have. So then when we meet in person, it's just all the value of it just is exponential.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate you sharing that experience. And I think we'll end with two questions here. One, Tony Robbins is famous for saying that quality questions create a quality life and that successful people ask better questions and as a result, they get better answers. Can you think of a question you should have asked more frequently as a novice leader?
One thing that I've read and I've heard about is the first question you should ask is one you don't know the answer to. Mm. I think sometimes, especially new leaders, think they have to know it all. And then we isolate the stakeholders we're involved with. And so even with parents or teachers or students, I try hard to ask a question I don't know the answer to. So it also levels the playing field. Like just because I sit at this side of the table doesn't mean I'm the expert in anything. And so asking, even if it's not even directly related to this, but even what they do, you know, for leisure, what they do for work, what they're learning themselves about, it's building that relationship and helping level that playing field. So they don't look at me on a pedestal because, oh my gosh, they're going to be quickly disappointed after they see my dance moves or my reading of a big book in a classroom. So I think that's, you know, just really being transparent and asking that question that you don't know the answer to.
Love that answer. That was awesome. And we'll end with this. What message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just one day?
See, you always stump me. They'll have to go back to the other episode to see my mortifying answer to one question that I went crazy on. I think it had to do with Barbies. I still remember that one.
Oh yeah, that is right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you emailed me.
Yeah, I showed you a picture of it then. Yeah.
I think
every marquee, teachers matter.
Love it.
Teachers matter. I just continue to, those are the people I put on the pedestal because they come in every single day to do their very best for everybody they serve. And sometimes they do it so well that when they get home, they're just sheerly exhausted. Mm. So teachers matter.
It's a great way to end because, you know, we can't do what we do and thrive in our roles without the kids and without an amazing staff. So teachers matter. And that's an awesome message to put on a marquee for sure. Well, Jessica, thanks so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Any questions you have about the book or anything you want to add to it or give me suggestions, I have a website, jessicacabine.com. On that website too, I added some additional questions if you ever want to do a book study and links to all the research that helped me really drive the work that I do. So feel free to check that out. Twitter, I'm on Jessica Cabine as well. So I really do love connecting. And if you're reading the book and you've found things, you know, use the hashtag hacking early learning so I can connect to that and share it out with the teachers that I get to serve with every day.
Better Leaders, thanks for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life's 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Danny and Jessica. Head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Jessica in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up. You get highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, including hacking early learning, and the best way to connect. Jessica, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Absolutely. Thanks. It was an honor.
All right, better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof. It encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. And make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.